الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we've been talking about these three words: خشية الله، حب الله، and تقوى. And yesterday we talked about تقوى and the meaning of تقوى, which is to avoid the doubtful, to be concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our lives, in all our actions, in all our thoughts, in all our speech, to have this awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be displeased with us in any of these aspects. Now, when that happens, to bring it and close the loop, that when a person lives his life like that, now how is he supposed to do it? What is the way of ensuring that none of my actions, no speech of mine or no thought of mine is likely to cause the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the standard? How do I judge that? And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the most simple, the most beautiful thing, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the way of assuring that every action of ours is an action of taqwa, that every action of ours is an action that will lead only to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, every action of ours that is done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns into an action of ibadah. The most simple actions, the most normal actions, the actions that we take in the course of our life, in any case, turn into actions of ibadah, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually reward us for that. For example, we eat our food. If we eat it the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat it, then the eating of food becomes an action of ibadah. We drink water. In any case, we drink water. If we ensure and thoughtfully drink it the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to drink, then that becomes an action of ibadah. We put on our shoes and we take off our shoes. If we do that in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it, then taking off your shoes and putting off your shoes, taking off and putting on the shoes, becomes an action of ibadah. We clip our nails. If we do make sure that we do them in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to clip his nails, and with that niyyah, then clipping of nails becomes an action of ibadah. And we have this dalil. The reason I'm saying that is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the sahaba, he said that if you have relations with your wife, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. So the sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, we have relations with our wives for our own pleasure. You mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a reward for that? Is that an action of ibadah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you did not do it in that way, and instead of that, if you had an illicit relation with some woman or some man, then would Allah not punish you for that? They said, yes, Allah will punish you, because may punish us, because that is haram. Zina is haram. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then if zina is haram and Allah will punish you, and if you do not do zina and instead of zina you make nikah, then Allah will reward you, because the opposite of it, for the action which is done against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah is going to punish you, then if you do the same action according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will reward you. So every action of ours becomes an action of ibadah if it is done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we get rewarded for it. In addition to that, and that's why I called it the closing of the loop, in addition to that, if we do that action of sunnah as a sign of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only rewards us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also loves us. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, where he said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them who claim to love Allah. We spoke about hubb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the connection with Allah. So Allah is saying, say to those people who claim to have love for me. Lay say to those people who claim to have love for me to make the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say to them who claim to love Allah, do my ittiba. And as I mentioned before, the difference between ittiba and itaat, itaat is to obey a command. So for you to obey, there should be a command. If there is no command, you cannot obey. But ittiba is to imitate, is to emulate because of love for that person, love for that action. We do it not because there is a command to do it. We do it just because the person we love used to do it. The person who we are imitating, the person who we are emulating may not even be aware that we are emulating them. They don't know. They don't even know we exist. But we do it because we love that person. So we walk like them, we talk like them, we dress like them, and you know, we have a haircut like them or whatever the case might be. So this emulation is a sign of love for the object or the person who is being emulated. So when we do the ittiba of Rasulullah, we are demonstrating that we love Muhammad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one who loves Muhammad, I will love him. Allah is saying that the one who loves Muhammad, Allah says, I will love him. So when we said about Hubbullah, that it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should be loved more than anyone or anything else, and I gave you the dalail of the Quran, the ayat, and the dalail from the hadith of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we said we should love Allah more than we love anything else, here is the greatest ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you love me, but I will love you if you do this, which is if you emulate or imitate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the beauty of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left that door completely open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever emulates Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which way? In any way. In any way. So whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, how he looked, what he ate, how he behaved, how he spoke, all of these things, that's the reason why studying the seerah is so important. Because only if we study the seerah, then we know what he used to do. All of these things which I mentioned to you and so on, about, you know, taking off your shoes, putting on your shoes and clipping your nails, everything, all of these things. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, with the highest rewards, because it is thanks to their observations and thanks to their noting down these things that we know what these things were. There is nobody whose life is preserved in so much detail and so authentically than the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have mentioned this before. If somebody asks me, what did your grandfather look like? What did your dada look like? I can describe him, but I can't describe him in such complete detail, right? I will describe him generally as whatever I remember. There's no written account anywhere of what he looked like. And I cannot describe him in that detail. But with the Prophet ﷺ, people have described even what the bottom of his feet look like, the sole of his feet. How do you see the sole of somebody's feet? I mean, they would have seen when he was in sujood, and somebody observed, because that's probably the only time when the bottom of the foot is visible. But people have even described that. What is the one can understand if you describe the, you know, the face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and so on and so forth, but the bottom of the feet, that is also written down. What was it? How many grey hair or white hair he had in his blessed head and beard, that also is written. I mean, that doesn't mean somebody went and actually counted, but you know, in a general way of speaking, they have said that he did not have more than about maybe 20 or 25 grey or black hair, grey or white hair in his beard and his blessed head. So such detail, such complete detail about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been mentioned. And this is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when Allah said, I will love you if you emulate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us every detail about his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say emulate him in every single way. And the reward of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And then if Allah loves you, what happens? يَخْبِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open on us and to open our hearts to the blessing of the sunnah and to try to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to follow his sunnah in every single aspect of our lives. And not leave anything out because of our own ego or whatever it is, Allah knows best. So let us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that so that we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tomorrow inshallah we'll finalize and close this by talking about the difference between the awe and majesty of Allah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One produces distance, another one produces closeness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.